throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along as Jared and I are hanging out at the Big House. Class A girls semifinal action on the floor right now with Sealing and Caddo just underway. Sealing Lady Cats with a 2-0 lead trying to punch their ticket into tomorrow's state championship game. Glad to have you along as we'll be high school basketball centric for sure with Jared and I both taking in a whole bunch of games throughout the different tournaments yesterday. As Jared was here in the Big House with Class A, I was over with Class B boys in Washington, excuse me. If you're going to be outside the listening area like we are, here's a way to stay in touch with the show, kadsam.com. Go to that website, hit the Listen Live tab, and you can live stream us that way, or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon, 3 radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. We'll have a video on Paragon TV from the 2A area tournament today, with both Merritt teams still alive after wins yesterday. And then we'll also have a radio broadcast on Paragon TV of the Hammond Lady Warriors coming up at 4:30 this afternoon against Pittsburgh. So that's kind of what we've got on tap for the day. I could queue up the Skinny on Sports text line, 225-9698. Tell us what you saw yesterday if you were out and about here in the city area watching the high school basketball tournaments. Jared, how are you?
I am good. I felt like I got maybe 10 minutes of sleep last night after a day like yesterday. But now ready to get it going today. Like you mentioned, one game we're covering on the Paragon Network with the Hammond Lady Warriors. So they're kind of carrying the torch for Western Oklahoma schools, especially the Paragon teams. And they looked pretty good yesterday. I didn't see it because it was happening the same time as my game, but with how dominant they were, I'd be shocked again if it isn't LaMega and Hammond in the finals coming up tomorrow. But they've still got to take care of business today against a very good Pittsburgh team. Saw some good basketball, though, yesterday. Saw some stuff that maybe we were used to seeing. We were talking off air about teams that maybe we thought were kind of having down years, right? Like, well, let's say Leedy boys, or even Sealing girls. You know, it's been a few years since they've sniffed a title. But the common thing about all that is, one, Sealing won, Leedy boys lost, but Fort Cobb is another one I was going to mention. Fort Cobb, they won yesterday. And the common thing about that is they're all used to getting here. They're used to getting in this tournament, in this building today. And you don't sense any kind of panic in them. I saw that perfectly yesterday in the Canute boys and Hydro Weekly boys. Canute was good. They're one of the hottest teams in Class A coming into yesterday. But Hydro, defending champs in Class A, and they never, even though Canute was only down 2 points at half, and you felt like, man, they can make a run at this thing and maybe pull off the upset, and then who knows what happens after that, because I'll mention this a little bit later, but Arapahoe Butler fell to Tushka, unranked Tushka, kind of opens up the door if whoever won that Canute Hydro game might catch Tushka on a high and get to the finals on Saturday. But my point is, Hydro never had a look of panic on their face, despite only being up 2 points when they're used to being up by 20 sometimes at halftime. That's because they're used to getting here. And it's no shock that as we see Sealing right here, they're up 9-2 already. I mean, was there any shock? I mean, even when they lost to Garber in the area and had the win, you know, consecutive games to get to today, and they're going to have to win a couple more to get a state title, I thought they could do it. Why? They're used to being here. They're experienced. Experience equals tradition.
There's no doubt about that. And even you mentioned Leedy. What a great season that Coach Carpenter put together. You know, we talked to him before, after the regional tournament, I guess, going into the area. And he talked about, you know, a little bit of sickness, a little bit of injury to start the season, got them behind the eight ball. But they were able to make the state tournament as an unranked team. And they get there. And to your point about being there, you know, this is what, 6 out of 7 years that the Leedy boys have been in the state tournament. And even in the loss, there was absolutely no panic about him. You know, it was, you know, they kind of look into the sophomore Luke Puffenbarger throughout the game when they needed a bucket. And to his credit, as a young guy, he looked around, realized the situation, realized that his teammates were leaning on him for what he needed to do, and he went and did it. I mean, it was a really impressive performance by Puffenbarger in the loss, just for the whole situation that was in front of him as a sophomore. You know, he didn't get to go last year. They got beat in the area consolation final. So it was his first time in the state tournament, and for a sophomore to realize the situation, to realize what his team needed from him at that time, because to be honest with you, he doesn't seem like one of those selfish type players. You know, he is playing completely within the team concept throughout the game, but at some point, the team needs you to take over, and he did the best job he possibly could have of taking over. I think he ended up with 18 or 20 of the 34 points for Leedy. They simply got beat by a better team at the end of the day. Glencoe had shooting all over the floor, and eventually they made enough threes to where Leedy couldn't catch back up. But it was an impressive performance in the loss, I thought, for Leedy. And then Fort Cobb Roxton, man, you could just, you know, Matthew Godibeau came out okay. You know, but it's just their second appearance. Coach Hines has 17 of them at Fort Cobb. You know what I mean? Just the difference in just the mental, the calmness between those two teams, and especially once Fort Cobb kind of went on a run in the third quarter when they stretched the lead to 5, then it was to 7, then it was to 9. You just had the sense that Mountain View Godibeau was trying to make an 8-point shot, you know, trying to get it all back in one possession. And that's just not the way it goes. And then they went through one of those stretches like we've talked about throughout the playoffs. 2 minutes of bad basketball can absolutely get you beat in the playoffs, and that's what happened to Mount View Godibeau. They just got behind. They had to start fouling. Credit Cray Rogers, the sophomore point guard for Mount View Godibeau, or for Fort Cobb, knocking down 11 out of 14 free throws in the fourth quarter only to keep Mountain View at bay. So, you know,
speaking about a bad stretch of basketball, I mean, looking at this, ceiling's already up 14-4 on Caddo.
Now, one bad thing about the Class B boys tournament, Jared, we both lost our title winner.
Who'd I pick?
You had Mountain View Godibeau, didn't you?
I did.
You had Mountain View Godibeau. I had Duke. Boy, that was a weird game, the final game of the night last night. Duke jumped out 11-5, and you felt like this is about to be a blowout.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo Valley hadn't been there since 04. You know, Duke had won the title in 2020, and you just kind of felt like, uh-oh, Buffalo Valley's in over our head right now. But they stayed the course. They didn't panic. Duke missed a bunch of layups in the second quarter. Instead of increasing the lead out to double digits, Buffalo Valley kind of hung in there. And then next thing you know, they went on a little run once they settled down, and they had a 7-point lead at halftime. And you looked up and you thought, what? Wait a minute. Do they have the scores on the wrong side? Because it felt like Duke controlled the first quarter and a half for sure. And then you looked up, they were down 7. Credit Buffalo Valley, Jace Turner, their junior point guard. He really took the game over. And that was the thing I noticed in both upsets, if you want to call them upsets by the rankings anyway. Fort Cobb Roxton, their point guard, Cray Rogers, absolutely took control in the second half. Buffalo Valley, their point guard, Jace Turner, absolutely took control in the second half, to where the other teams just didn't really have an answer for them. And also free throw shooting. When you looked up, Mountain View Godibeau was 2 of 10 from the line. They got beat. You know, and then in the other game, Duke missed a bunch of free throws, and they got beat, whereas the other two teams, Fort Cobb and Buffalo Valley, knocked down free throws. 16 of 18 from Buffalo Valley, and just with those two guys that shot them. So it was a fun day over at Washington in Class B. I'll be honest with you, I got no idea who's winning that tournament, because I could see any of the four teams left winning it. And shockingly enough, to me, the team that's kind of flying under the radar after watching the first four games is Class B number one Roth. They just kind of do what they do. You know, nothing. They just do what they do, and they were able to pull away and beat Stringtown. So
that game at noon today should be fun, Roth and Fort Cobb. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, I think both of them will be fun. I don't. Actually, I do not think both of them will be fun.
I think Glencoe's going to be okay.
That's the one that scares me for a blowout. But Buffalo Valley, give them credit, man. They settled in, and you could see it on their faces. In the first quarter, they were almost hesitant to dribble the basketball. But as they settled in, as they figured out, wait a minute, it was almost like a Rocky fighting Drago. They are human. We're human.
Right.
We can do that. And then all of a sudden, the thing just flipped completely on its head, And next thing you know, you felt like, oh, darn, Duke has no chance to win. You know, it like went, it completely flipped around. It was crazy how that game went because in the first 5-8 minutes, it seemed like Buffalo Valley was just going to get blown off the map and head back to Eastern Oklahoma.
If I'm Duke, and I guess I'll be critical for critical's sake, but if I'm Duke, both boys and girls, you mentioned the girls, Duke girls fell yesterday, where is that at? Whitesboro by 10, 44 to 34, and you mentioned the boys. Now, they're capable of winning state titles. We saw that a couple years ago, but if I'm Duke, am I seeking out, because they're in a part of the state where they're playing with what the hand that's dealt to them. Meaning their location, you know, if they want to find some really tough competition, they probably have to travel 2 hours plus. But am I seeking out some tough tournaments to be a part of to try to you know condition yourself to a state tournament like feel?
You know, they were in the Bi-County there for a lot of years, which is Merritt, Hammond, Leedy. You know, they're down in the Tri-County, but Merritt, Hammond, Sealing's been in that. Okarchi has come out for that. You know, that was a time where they were there. And then now I don't think they're in that one anymore. It's a great question. I would say I didn't see the
Did
girls
you say
game.
The
obviously, yeah, the Bi-County.
They're in the Bi-County.
Yeah, they still are. So that, I mean, that's a when you look up and you got Sealing out there, Hammond out there. They could both be playing tomorrow, at least for the girls'
side. Except
this
year for the. I mean, I think it was the girls' side. It was so screwy with the
Bertha Teague and all that kind of stuff.
And so they had to play like this, like a round robin format, just to get games in.
I get your point, and I think there's a lot of validity to it. But at least for the boys. They came out fine. It was, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were, the stage was too big or anything like that. But you wonder how many games they played like that, where they came out and the other team just kind of laid down and they were able to increase the lead no matter how good they were playing. Last night, missing a couple layups, letting Buffalo Valley hang around. Then all of a sudden you look up in the third quarter and you're down 8. How do you react to that? You know what I'm saying? And so I think for that, to that point, I think you're right. It'd be a nice way to help those teams out with a little bit better, a little bit tougher games here and there to be allowed to kind of see what you're all about on the inside.
Let's move on. Class A boys, Class A girls. I wasn't here for a lot of that. I got here for mainly the second session. I caught the tail end of the first session. I found it odd that they put all the first session, all girls games, and all the second session. I figured they would.
Try not to get anybody an advantage rest-wise, probably.
Okay.
You know what I mean? As close as they
can. I thought they'd help out like Hydro. You know, you had Hydro girls who played at 9, or excuse me, at noon, and then the boys played at 9. You thought they'd maybe a little closer together. But anyways, really no shockers in the Class A girls. Hydro Weekly, just mentioned them. They won. They'll take on Okarchi today, right after this one at 10:30. Sealing girls and Caddo, they're going at it right now. First period's over, and Sealing's already won the game. They're up 24-10. Caddo could go on a run. But it's Sealing, right?
Yes.
It's Sealing.
There's a reason why I picked them to win the state title, Jerry.
Yeah.
You're seeing it right now.
Yeah. I was hesitant because of the amount of games in a short amount of time. But what Sealing's doing is awesome. You know, they're up this big. Watch them go on a 10-0 run here in the second quarter, and you'll never see the starters the rest of the game. And that's what he's doing. He's keeping the fresh legs out there. Class B boys, Canute fell to Hydro Weekly 64-46. I'll come back to that game. Tushka upset Arapahoe Butler. We'll talk about that one too. 33-30. Caddo boys defeated Van Oss 50-47. And Garber beat Riverfield Country Day 57-46. Now listen, Riverfield was the huge underdog in this entire tournament, probably of all four tournaments, was this Riverfield team. They start out hot. They deserve to be here. I'll tip my cap to them. It's just Garber was just they're just too good. It's just the matchup that they got. But I could see Riverfield beating some of these other teams. They're very athletic and they started off hot, a lot of momentum. And once Garber settled down, the cream rose to the top there. You want to talk about that game last night, Canute boys?
Yeah, go ahead with the two last night, Canute and Arapahoe.
Canute boys. Well, I'll start with Arapahoe. That was the first game. Man, Tushka, I think they came in, they were wearing T-shirts referencing them being unranked. We mentioned the ranking system. Clearly, they should have been ranked. And they're using that as motivation coming in here without a ranking. And Arapahoe Butler, they just had a poor shooting night, absolute poor shooting night. I'm talking anywhere within 4 or 5 feet inside. They're just having trouble just getting those simple shots. They would get an offensive rebound and the putbacks couldn't, I mean, late in the game to either tie it or even take a lead. They could not get it to go. But then they would get to the free throw line, and they were just missing free throws. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but more often than not. It was, and I was told this by Matty Oakes, who called the game. So it was kind of how that Arapahoe girls game in that, what, six overtime thriller where that's not even two or one overtimes if they hit their free throws. Same could be said here. Arapahoe had a shot at the end to try to tie it. Didn't go in, and their season comes to an end. And I listen, I top five. I thought when I saw those matchups, they're going to get to the semifinal. And they just came out flat, and they just could not find that rhythm in this in that one. So their season is done. Canute, mentioned it earlier. I thought they were one of the hottest teams coming into this tournament with how they got in here, winning five in a row. They were winners of nine of their last 10 before last night. They came out, hung with Hydro toe-to-toe for the entire first half. Great games from Kyron Winery and Zach Potter. Kyron finished with 19 points. The stat to me, he was 2 for 3 from beyond the arc. This is a guy who struggled with free throws about a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden he's hitting threes. Zach Potter, he finished with 13. He also had he went 3 for 4 from outside. You got two of your big guys hitting the three-pointers. Then you got Colt Randall. His season comes to an end. He just couldn't find the hoop. He found he got one bucket for 2 points. And then freshman Jackson Beck, and you know, he's either absolutely on fire or can't or is not. And I'll credit Hydro. They were on him like glue. Did not give him enough space. And Jackson doesn't need a lot of space to shoot the basketball. And he couldn't find it. He finished with 4 points last night. And again, Canute loses 64-46. So congratulations to Canute. I think, you know, a lot of people thought maybe last year was a state tournament type team because you had dynamic players like Kellen Henderson and Keenan Smith. They were gone this year, but that senior class this year, they found that that cohesiveness to play together, and it took a little bit throughout the season to find it, but once they found it through that little run I mentioned, they were one of the better teams in Class A, and they proved it, and they too deserve to be here. They just ran into a really, really good Hydro Weekly team. I'm not trying to take anything away from Hydro Weekly as far as them being here. They're the defending champs for a reason. I mentioned, you know, not seeing panic in anybody's face. That was them. They were only down 2 at half, and they did not have any kind of panic. They're like, well, we're going to come out here. We're going to shoot the ball. I mean, they shot like 64% from the field overall. Just great shooters and a really good basketball team for Coach Gore. So congratulations, Hydro. They're moving on, and congratulations to Canute on a fine season.
Here on the text line, Dakota liking what he saw from Garber. When I first looked at that score, I thought, whoa, is Riverfield Country Day better than what we thought? You know what I mean? And I think the answer to that is yes, but also Garber, like you say, we will beat this any broadcast you listen with either one of us on it tomorrow or today, whatever it is. We'll beat this into the ground, and it's just the truth. The teams that get here over and over have the mental makeup of it is so stark in the contrast between the ones that don't, and you can just see it out there on the floor. And it's a lot of it is panic, and a lot of it is not shrinking the game on your own. Realizing, yeah. Although, you know, it does go by fast a lot of times, but there's still a ton of time left all at the same time. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to, if you're down 6 to start the fourth quarter, you don't have to come out and knock down 2 threes. You can take your time, run your offense, and then get stops on the other end. You don't have, you know, and you see those teams just kind of continue to do what they do, and eventually, like you say, the cream rises to the top. And you know, if you could, 22-point lead in the fourth quarter at one time, that's been Garber. If you could change, obviously we would change Class B, boys, because both of our winners are out. But in the other, from what you saw yesterday in Class A, would you switch your title winners in either the boys or the girls bracket after what you saw yesterday?
Well, let's go with Class A. I had Hydro Eakley, you had Ceiling.
Yes.
And Yeah, I think I would switch to ceiling. I think I would, after what I'm seeing right here. I'm watching ceiling throw in hockey lines three at a time, rotating them in. I think I would. I mean, I can't. Mine's locked in, right?
No, you can't change, but okay. If you wanted to, would you?
Yeah, I would. Sure, I would.
Yeah,
Class A boys. Who'd I pick there? Garber?
We both had Garber.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Garber.
Yeah, we're getting a bunch of texts here. Garber pulled starters with 4 minutes left. It was a 20-point game at that point.
Yeah. Class B
so
girls.
So you, no, wait.
Sorry, go ahead. I'd stick with Garber.
You wouldn't have any hesitation with Hydro Weekly to change to the Hydro Weekly boys?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's a physical thing for me. Garber's a physical team. Hydro Weekly is a great shooting team, you know, which usually I'm not trying to say they're not physical, but you know they got size. Don't get me wrong. Props was awesome down low, but they got great shooters. I can see Garber trying to be, you know, muscling up man for man. It's a physical thing for me, so I'll stick with Garber. Right
I just
there.
Can't. I just
it's
can't,
just so hard to repeat. Too.
I can't get over the fact that if those two meet in the finals, you're going to have a Garber team that had won the year before in that triple overtime thriller against Arapahoe Butler. And then they go into that fourth quarter last year down eight, or up eight, I'm sorry. Up eight going into the fourth quarter against Hydro Weekly, and they let it slip. And that is their style is such that they don't let those games slip. Right?
Right.
You know, they're up eight going into the fourth quarter. That game is almost over. It's almost like a 20-point lead. And Hydro Weekly was able to do it and come back and beat them. I think that revenge factor for Garber is such a thing that they're not going to blow that opportunity again. I'm not so sure that Hydro Weekly isn't a better team. But
yeah.
I don't think that's going to matter because I just think that motivation in this situation is so much more in the favor of Garber than it is for Hydro Weekly because of what happened last year. Class B boys, honestly, it's a toss-up. I think if they all play their best, after what I saw yesterday, I think Glencoe's best is better than everybody else. But here's the thing about Glencoe. They rely on three-point shots. Can they make them in this gym? This arena, it's notorious for either you do or you don't. There's almost no in-between. Like, you're either on fire or you can't hit the broadside of the barn because the depth perception is so crazy. If you've never been on this floor inside the big house, you just can't understand what it looks like. It feels like no matter where you're at on the floor because of where the goals are situated and the shooting back, the backstop, or the backdrop and the shooting is so far back behind. What is that?
Oh, my
200
goodness.
Feet
yeah.
or whatever it is on both sides. And so if you're like when you stand at the free throw line, it feels like you can reach out and grab the rim. I'm not kidding. It looks that close because of the depth perception. And so you see really good shooters come in here and just rip the nets apart, or you see really good shooters come in here and they can't make a shot. That would be the one thing for Glencoe is that can they make enough shots? I know Roth is going to play the way they do. Fort Cobb is as comfortable as anybody in this gym in the entire state of Oklahoma. And so I thought it was going to be Class A boys that was going to be the up-in-the-air tournament. I don't think that's the truth anymore. I think it's the Class B bracket that's going to be so up in the air.
Yeah.
Because of what happened yesterday.
On the text line, I'd have to look at that. I don't know. I don't have that stats on me. But, yeah, Carlisle was the one who had the question was how many three-pointers did Carlisle have? Not a lot.
So they scored 30. Let's see if I can find that on News. Okay.
He's usually a guy that – he can shoot it well, but he yeah. Yeah, you're right. The depth perception thing.
Oh, it's zero. They know the answer.
Oh, well.
That was a rhetorical question for both of us.
Stumping the skinny on sports.
In my defense, I wasn't even here.
You know, they give us stats after every half and every game. I don't know why I didn't save them. I should have. For references for us, like, you know, let's take note of that to save those today for tomorrow's prep.
But that's a great point on the text line.
Yeah,
Carlisle
yeah.
had come into the state tournament.
He's a great shooter.
I think just kind of watching throughout the area tournament, he had five in that win against Visai. He was a big part of being able to hold off Texoma. And then you come in here and you don't make any. I remember, golly, I think it was our junior year. Elk City got beat by Deer Creek in the area finals. And they had a kid, I think his name was Brett Peters. He looked, we played him at Edmond Santa Fe. When I say we, Elk City played them at Edmond Santa Fe. And it looked, he looked, like physically, looked like Larry Bird. And he shot it like Larry Bird that night. I think he ended up with like 9 threes. And Deer Creek beat Elk City, and then the Elks came back and got in through the actually, that may have been the year that Weatherford whipped them. It might have been a sophomore year. No, but we were here, so it would have been our junior year. Anyhow, then we come in here and watch him play Star Spencer, and he couldn't hit the backboard. Wow. It was just such a difference being able coming into this gym versus what you're used to. And they're just he was unable to make any shots. And I promise you, the Friday night before, he could have turned around with his back to the bucket and threw it up over his head, and it would have went in. And you could have given him a wide open three
fairness,
here, and he couldn't
though,
make it.
Sometimes you're just feeling it, and sometimes
that's true.
You're not.
That's true.
And then and another thing about this building and being here, and especially teams that aren't used to being here, the nerves can be a big thing. It's a big factor. You know, getting overexcited, trying to overdo it, you know. Saw so many shots yesterday just go to the back of the rim rather than the front because they're pushing it too hard or just overexcited. That was for me anyways with Canute. You know, those guys never experienced this. First time Canute's been in the state tournament since 99. You know, and we all know Hydro in their history. So I was like, if Canute can come out and just survive those nerves early, they have a shot. And at first, it was kind of like the surreal game. It was a low-scoring game, but they were down. But once they settled down, we got what we got for that first half. So, yeah, nerves is a thing. I mean, this is an exciting place to play in, and it can get to a player.
But it can also it can do both things. It can get to somebody, but it can also create just incredible performances,
yeah.
too, for the ones that use it in a positive way.
Right.
We see it every year. Somebody just goes nuts. Over and over, you know,
right.
year after year. Let's hit the 2A regionals right, or the area tournament right quick before we take our first break. The Merritt Oilerettes and the Merritt Oilers were able to earn wins yesterday up at Hennessy. The Big Boss and the Big Boss Lady were on the call. I think are they going to be back up there today?
I would assume. They got rave reviews from what I saw.
I was seeing outside of maybe not keeping up with the scoreboard quick enough to start. I did see nothing but rave reviews for the Boss Man and the Boss Lady. So they'll be back up. At Hennessy this afternoon, it'll be the Merritt Oilerettes and Watonga. That is a rematch from the first round of regionals, a game that Merritt won 37-33. So that game will be at 1:30. You can watch it. You can actually watch that one on ParagonTV.com because it's an area tournament game. So you can watch Merritt versus Watonga on the girls' side. Merritt Oilers will be right back at 3 o'clock. They'll play Amber Pocasset as Merritt knocked off Pawnee yesterday, 71-65. I'll tell you one thing, the Oilers have been scoring some points over the last handful of games in the playoffs. They may not have won them all, but they have been putting up some points. I mean, a bunch of them. So congratulations to both Merritt teams with wins to start the area tournament. And now you get one more today, and all of a sudden you turn around and you're playing tomorrow night with a chance to go to the 2A state tournament, both the Oilerettes and the Oilers. 1:30 for the tip for the Oilerettes, and followed at 3 o'clock for the Oilers. So that'll be fun to be able to watch that one on ParagonTV.com. Skinny on Sports live from the Big House. Ceiling leading Caddo 42-18 Class A girls first semifinal of the day. Lady Cats look like they are headed to the show tomorrow on state championship Saturday. See who they play with Okarchi and Hydro Weekly coming up next. You know what always kind of makes me giggle?
What's that? What is that?
When you look at different, you know, messages or what have you.
I try not to look at my phone during the show.
So I'm looking at.
It's not professional.
I'm looking at our.
This is a bad idea.
I'm looking at our live feed here.
We're
getting accused of not working much by a guy that just sitting there watching us. With Hunter. Now, wait a minute, Hunter.
Wait, that's Hunter?
Yeah.
Our sideline guy?
Yes.
Our big football sideline guy.
Hunter's glad to see us finally working, but he's just sitting there watching us. So does that mean he's not working
that's
either?
That's true.
I like it.
That's true.
Our main man, Hunter. Wolfie,
hey,
Wolfie also hanging out.
We talk about our award for our stream. You know, we never really mentioned Hunter in that. You know, he's our sideline guy for a Big Elk TV. And
I did.
He's a big part of that.
I mentioned it. I guess it was on a Big Elk. TV broadcast when he was, when I'm saying that he was one of the assistant coaches, and thanking him for his work. Oh, yeah. And by the way, as you see here, it may take a little bit to get back to him, but I got to give shout-outs to two separate people, okay? I've got to give shout-outs to two separate people. That I, one has been like 2 days coming, and I've had it on the list that I kind of create before our show, and I never really do it, you know what I'm saying? And that is on Monday, or was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday. Big Elk Baseball started the season with a 10-3 win against the Pampa Harvesters. And you think, okay, big deal. You know, baseball beat Pampa.
Big deal, you beat a Texas team.
Yeah, whatever. Well, here's the deal. That is the first win in the head coaching career of one Jay McClure. So congratulations to Jay Mack.
First of many.
Long time coming for him. And so, you know, he was, by golly, been an assistant at Elk City for what? Geez, we graduated in 99. It took him probably about 7 years to get out of college.
Dr. McClure?
I know, because I was right there beside him. So he's, you know, 15, somewhere between 15 and 20 years as an assistant at Elk City. Got the job, and, you know, he was with them this summer. They didn't lose the game this summer, and then they started out the season with a 10-3 win. So congratulations to J-Mac.
Yes.
On the first win of here, many. It looks like the Elk City baseball team, not only this season, but all the way down, if you saw Wyatt behind us a little bit ago, those guys, you know, he's got them coming. And the cool thing about it is when you look at what the participation level is for baseball right now, they have enough guys to play a full varsity schedule, a full JV schedule, and a full freshman schedule. So he's got a ton of kids out there playing baseball right now for the Brown and White, and he's got them all the way down to second and third grade as well.
Yeah.
So really good stuff. 05 is when Jay started there. So, yeah, you're looking at 16 years as an assistant, or 15, depending on how you do the math.
There's some games there I've circled on the calendar. Like, I'm going to, you know, we'd love, I mean, who knows, might broadcast some, but love to go to them. And I'm reflecting what you're saying. Go watch that baseball team, because they got it built to do something special, not just this season, but many seasons afterwards.
All right.
Speaking of Wyatt,
I've got one more shout out. If you're watching here, you'll see him come into the picture. Wyatt Ray Compton. Look at the camera right over there. See? Wave to everybody. This young man right here was awesome last night on the NFHS Network. We had the Class B boys all four games from Washington High School. He was on the camera doing the camera work for all four of those games, and he was fantastic. Outside of maybe one quarter when his buddy came over there and started messing with him, and his attention was a little bit off. But other than that, thank you, Wyatt Compton. And look at him. He makes me look prettier. Him and his mother both.
I watched some of it, and I kind of pirated the password, and I had to give it back. But I watched some of it. The camera work was primo, man.
Do you want to talk? Would you like to say something?
He's grinning like he's thinking about
it. No, he's out. He said, I'm a behind-the-camera guy. Anyways, thank you to him. Honestly, that was awesome. He did a great job.
Speaking of
11 years old, that's pretty good to keep your attention
through
7 hours worth of camera work.
Yeah.
I know I would probably have a decent chance of not being able to do that, so I appreciate
him. I've tried it. It's harder than you think, because you want to – you forget you're running a camera, and when you get excited to get caught up in the game, you forget to move the camera with it. You're just using your head like, whoa, what a shot. Oh, yeah, no one else saw the shot.
You know what I noticed? Just kind of out of my periphery. When somebody would shoot a free throw and miss it, I noticed him back there working on his form. So, anyhow, and for one of his rewards, you know what we're going to do, Jared? And I think this is something you and I have been told to do for like 4 years now, and we've never been able to do it. But I'm talking about eating, okay?
Oh.
I'm talking about eating.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
What do you think I'm going to say?
Was it Papa Gino's?
That's exactly what I'm going to say. Papa Angelo's.
Papa Angelo's.
Yes. We had a couple of burgers yesterday. My original idea was to watch these first two games. I've seen Class B boys, so I can kind of step aside a little bit, you know, as far as calling it tomorrow, whatever.
Yeah.
Knowing the players and this and that. And I was going to go down the street to a place called Nick's. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
It's about a 12-seater.
It was on Triple D, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But Wyatt said, you know what? All we had was burgers yesterday. Let's go get some pizza. And then I thought, you know what? Let's do it. Let's take Jared. Because we've tried to get to that place numerous times, and it just doesn't work out in the schedule for the football because we've got to be setting up. And when we get there, it's not open.
They're not open.
And so that's what we're going to do.
I love it. I didn't even think about that.
Also, text line. We got to congratulate a young man for a powerlifting state tournament appearance. Jake Chenault clearly.
I saw that.
Clearly got his strength from somebody besides his dad. But Jake Chenault is headed to the powerlifting state tournament. I think he got third in his regional. So congratulations to Jake.
Young man,
he is
a
he's
up.
An avid sports animal lister, avid listener when he can to us as well. So congratulations to Jake.
That's awesome.
Let's see what else you got as far as.
Will he be playing football for the Oilers?
You know, he seventh grade.
He's,
yeah,
he's
I think
powerlifting.
So.
You'd hope so.
I would assume probably so.
Yeah.
See if we get that answer.
It's great.
Coming up on the text line. All right, so the broadcast schedule for us looks like this today. ParagonTV.com with video up at Hennessy. You got Merritt at 1:30 for the girls, 3 o'clock for the boys. And then at 4:30 right here in the arena, it'll be radio only for the Hammond Lady Warriors in the semifinals against Pittsburgh.
Well, to clarify, audio only.
Audio, that's what I meant, audio only, radio. Else, it means the same, doesn't it?
I had, well, not really. I had some people text me and go, why can I hear you on the radio? I said, no. Go to Paragon
TV. That's
true. You can listen to us. You can listen to it on Paragon TV. Tomorrow, though, we will be radio.
That's correct. Cool 94 for all 4 of the championship games. Oh, my gosh.
What's going on?
Breaking news item here.
Breaking news.
From Dakota, or maybe it was Drew. Cowboys are likely to release Amari Cooper by the start of the league year. Cooper's due $20 million in guaranteed money on the fifth day of the new league year, which is March the 20th. Okay. So that could be a candidate for a trade, I would say, instead of outright releasing him. But if you're another team and he gets released, then – you know, maybe you want to wait on that and not have to give up any assets to be able to acquire him if he's just going to be available via the free agency. So that's an interesting move. I understand why it's not Zeke because of the dead money that goes along with Zeke. But if you talk about, you know, productions, just simply production one over the other, I think most Cowboy fans would much rather have Amari Cooper out there running around than Zeke Elliott.
That's the first question came to my mind. Why not Zeke?
Too much dead money.
Yeah. I mean, Cooper is – clearly found a nice home in Dallas. You know, he's a great wide receiver. You saw how good he was when they were in Oakland at the time. And he got put in a good situation with Dak. I mean, it was clearly working, but you know, you can't keep them all. I mean, the money just doesn't work.
And that's always been the problem with paying Zeke Elliott what you paid Zeke Elliott.
Yep.
Is because you saw the writing on the wall once Dak Prescott solidified himself as a guy that you want to keep and a guy that you want to pay. You cannot afford to pay a running back what you paid him.
Right.
And especially when you look up and you realize that the guy they're paying doesn't look as good as the guy they're not paying. When you're talking about Tony Pollard, you know, and then do you lose him because you can't afford to pay him when you got Zeke and all that
you're
money?
You're going to get someone else willing to offer him a lot more money than what the Cowboys are able to offer him.
Well, we've got soccer. Soccer results.
Soccer.
Elkettes won 3-1 on PKs.
Who did they play?
Paladuro. Amarillo Paladuro.
Yeah.
It was Tuesday night, I believe. Elks lost
3-0. Yeah, well, I mean, we're starting to think, here we are. I mean, I've always equated this weekend to being the unofficial start of spring. I think I say that because it's the unofficial start of spring sports. After this weekend, everybody hits the baseball diamond, the pitch, the tennis courts, the softball field. So, and then, I mean, and the weather certainly is acting like it's spring out there.
Yeah, for now. Wait till Sunday.
Yeah, I know. So, we just have to help cover one game. Who says we can't get 9 in?
I didn't bring my clubs.
I didn't either.
I sure thought about it. We had too many bags.
We got a caddy over here. He could drive us around in the golf cart. And
Travis.
Anyways.
We'll worry about that when he gets 16, if you know what I'm saying.
Anyways, it's kind of a bittersweet weekend, in my opinion, when you're wrapping up basketball season. But then it's exciting because you're moving on to baseball and softball. And then you blink, and we're going to be talking about the Masters probably on Monday, right?
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for Masters talk. Yeah. You know what's going to be sad, though?
What's that?
Well, not sad for me because of where I'll be, but Masters week, I'm out of the country.
You are out of the country.
I'm out of the country, Masters week.
Surely they have TVs in
other
countries.
Better. They better. I wonder if Jim Nance speaks fluent Spanish.
Hola.
Hola, friends.
Compadre, or I don't know.
Hello, friend. Wrapping it up for the week here on a Friday morning. Glad to have everybody along. Is Ceiling pulling away from Caddo. Well, they did that a long time ago. 53-27. Lady Cats look like they're poised to reach the state title game tomorrow. I think that's the first game of the day. Class A girls at noon, Class B boys at 2. Then we come back with Class B girls at 5, and then Class A boys at 7 o'clock. Round out championship Saturday on the Big House. Huh, look at there. Jake got
awesome.
Jake got his name on Skinny on Sports.
Awesome.
Glad to make your day, big boy. I wonder how long it's going to be till he starts whipping possum and fights. Now?
And that's a pay-per-view I'd pay for.
Maybe that's what we can set up for another live remote. we can call the wrestling match between Jake and Possum. That would be pretty
yes.
good.
I'm sure Big Daddy knows his son's weaknesses.
Yeah, then there's just something about, you know, as the son, isn't there just like a little hesitation to beat up your dad? Whereas on the dad's side, there's zero hesitation to whip up on your son.
I don't know. When me and my dad wrestled, I knew all. Listen, he's a hairy dude. I knew if I wrestled, I'd just grab his chest hair and not let
no.
go. And he would just scream bloody murder.
So you didn't fight fair. Poor Fred.
Yeah. No, I was smaller than him. I had to use every advantage I got.
Oh no. I don't know how I feel about that. Knowing that you did such a thing to your dad.
Listen, hopefully my kids aren't listening to this. They're out of school today. They could be. I got a little chest hair, too. Hopefully they don't get the same idea.
Now,
but that would be payback, and I'm sure old Poppy's probably told him, listen, this is how you get your dad.
Is there any doubt that James would take advantage of that before Katie?
No doubt at all.
I would agree with
no
that.
No doubt. James would.
From the stories I've heard, there's no doubt that James, possibly the more ornery one. Is that a nice way to
more
say that?
Physical, ornery. Stubborn, you name it. It's just my lover. My lover. I feel sorry for any boy that tries to date her. She's going to be, ugh. And she's going to be our little basketball player. I got to give a shout out to her. She's been going to practice with Katie, and, you know, James is 5, and she's been trying so hard just to get that ball up to the hoop. Well, the last practice they had on Wednesday, she put it through that hoop 3 times.
Well, fantastic.
She figured out if I jump when I shoot with my legs, and she's doing it. And hey. I've had a couple text messages say, hey, your daughter's been practicing basketball at recess. So maybe basketball's her thing, but I don't know. Hopefully we'll see her, not in this building, but in the new building in a few years.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was trying to figure out how many more years. Well, I know we've done the math. How many more years in here? 2 more?
I think 2 after this, yes.
2 more seasons after this.
Mr. Glover would not commit to a timeline
no,
when we had
wouldn't.
Him on.
We were trying. He
last
do it.
Week, but
didn't want to go on record
I think
that.
That's. I think he said construction is supposed to begin after the state fair this year,
right?
And then from there, 2 years. So I think this will be the there'll be 2 more after this inside this arena, and then transition to the new big house. After that. All right, real quick, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, speaking of constructing.
We started talking about this on Wednesday, then the brackets came out for the state tournaments, and we kind of lost control of it. And my question was this. I was asked this when I was going up to Kingfisher the other day. Is Cliff Kingsbury hard to play quarterback for? You think back to the Baker Mayfield situation, and now this one. How much culpability does Cliff Kingsbury have in what's going on here with Kyler Murray? And, oh, by the way, the situation has got even a little bit muddier since we started talking about it with Kingsbury and Steve Keim, the GM, signing long-term deals through the 2027 season.
When did that come down?
The next day.
I didn't know
that. So the organization has committed to those two, Kingsbury and Kime.
I was wondering where Kingsbury has been in all this. We haven't heard him say anything.
He said he hadn't talked to Kyler Murray.
He hasn't talked to Kyler Murray at all. So he's kind of playing the arrogant card? Or not arrogant, but It's like, well, the less I know, the less I'm out of it. So if I haven't talked to him, I don't know how he feels. It's not
plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. Thank you. So, but yeah, I think to answer your question, though, let's say Murray moves on to a different team, they get someone else in there, and we see the same results in Arizona, thus the same results with Cliff Kingsbury. I think we got our 100% answer. He could just be hard to play for.
I think that this is apples and oranges to what happened with Mayfield. And the thing for Kingsbury, if you want to defend him, he's always had kind of the circumstances on his side. When you think back to what happened at Tech, Baker Mayfield was a walk-on. And then, oh, by the way, guess who they had? Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
In the pike, right? Now, this situation to me is a lot more about money than it has to do with performance or play on the field.
Right.
And I wish I had this keyed up, because when you listen to the talk about Kyler Murray, it's always he's going to get paid. He's done this. He's done that. He's deserving of $40 million. It's just a matter of him getting the contract. Is that true? Is that true? What has he done? What has he really done in the NFL to deserve a $40 million contract?
You've mentioned you had stats.
Talk a little and I'll pull them up.
Okay. Well, that's what I think people go to is the stats. You know, and the one stat that everyone's going to go to, or it's two stats. They're kind of the same. What's your win-loss record and what's your record and what's your playoff success?
Okay.
Because if you're asking for those upper tier dollars that the other upper tier quarterbacks get, well, the difference between them and what we think is you, Kyler, is that those guys, Aaron Rodgers, was Tom Brady, others, they get to the playoffs and they win, Mahomes. So that's pretty much the only stat I can look at sometimes.
Okay.
Some people really break it down and go, well, it's cool. His QBR was this, his touchdown interception ratio was this. I know you're about to do that. I'm not knocking you. But to me, I'm like, well, what's your win-loss? You know, do you win games or not?
If you ask 100 people or 1 million people, however many you want to, what do you think the ratio would be if the question is this? Who's better, Kyler Murray, or who's done more in the NFL, Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield?
Oh, I'd say 2-1. Everyone would say Kyler.
I would agree with that. I think it may even be higher. I think you might even get 75-80% of the people would say Kyler Murray. When you look at the stats and you're talking about win-loss record, their win-loss record for their careers, Baker Mayfield, 29-30. Kyler Murray, 22-23-1. Both won game over 500. Murray's completion percentage is better than Baker's, 62 versus 67. Touchdown to interception, Baker's thrown way more picks at 56 scores. He's played an extra year. And then you go to the dreaded thing called the playoffs. So when you look at their per-game stats, they both complete in the 60% range. They both throw a touchdown and a half a game. They both basically throw a pick a game. So their touchdown to interception ratio isn't as off per-game stats as you would think if you looked at the total stats. And then you look at the playoffs. One of them's 0-1 and had the most just ridiculous performance in recent memory with Kyler Murray against the Rams. Baker Mayfield's 1-1 in the playoffs, went to Pittsburgh and won a playoff game.
With Cleveland.
And then had a chance to beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now, I am not in any way, shape, or form sitting here telling you that I think Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. I'm not necessarily telling you that, but I'm also not telling you that it's this wide chasm that is being portrayed out there. Now, if you want to go for the first eight games of the season, then we can talk, because that's when Kyler Murray dominates.
But what happens?
He gets worn down because he's a little bitty dude. And when you look at the second half of the season, which then you got to combine to make the whole thing, he's really not any better than Baker Mayfield.
Right.
But he's more flashy, and he does things that Baker simply can't. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at, are you going to pay this guy $40 million? Nobody thinks that the Browns should do that for Baker. I don't think that the Arizona Cardinals should do it for Murray. And here's another thing. What has Arizona gone out and done consistently since he's been there? Gave him every single thing you could possibly ask for.
Right.
A.J. Green, they draft a receiver, Rondell Moore. They traded for Hopkins. They built the defense around him with Jones and with Watt and all these different guys. He has gotten everything you could possibly ask for, and he still can't do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's still a win behind poor old crappy Baker Mayfield with playoff wins.
With crappy Cleveland. That's the thing for me. Baker's went to this cellar of a dumpster fire in Cleveland, and he's made them to where people are blaming him for not winning enough.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, that's crazy to me. Like, you guys were nothing without Baker. I'm not trying to defend Baker. I know it's what everyone thinks we're doing, but, you know.
Cleveland was 1-31 the 2 years before he got there. They're 29-30 since he's been there. That's an incredible turnaround, win-loss. Now, has he been worthy of the number one pick? No, he hasn't been that good. But neither is Kyler Murray. And I guess that's the point at the end of the day, is really take a look at what Kyler Murray has done, and all of a sudden maybe you see why the coach and the GM are the ones getting extended, and Kyler Murray looks like a crybaby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of an interesting conversation, and it's going to be one of those that you didn't see coming. I think that's why it's so interesting, because you just assume, oh, yeah, Arizona's going to dole out the money. No doubt about it, Kyler's going to get paid and move on. Maybe that's not as cut and dried as what we thought, especially when you see those two guys, the coach and the GM, get the extension.
Yep.
Now, it could come down the pike here by the weekend that, oh, yeah, Kyler Murray redid his deal, and he's going to get the money a year early.
Right.
But I don't know. And how big of a mistake is that, my Arizona? Or do they see the writing on the wall like I think Kyler Murray sees? I get injured. I get hurt every year, and my performance goes down every year as the season goes along. And then when it's money time, I don't feel as good as I do to start the season. How is that going to affect me being able to get the big money? I need it now before all these warts start showing up.
Right. I know we're out of time. We got to talk about this Monday. Did you see what Spencer Rattler said?
Yes, I did. Yes,
that was very eye-opening for me. I don't know if that's just him being Spencer Rattler, or if that's telling of the past coaching staff at OU.
I can't wait that was a question I had already put down on the list for Jim on Monday, is what he thought about what Spencer Rattler said.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Take me through this as we move on.
Hit it.
I just hit it right now?
Hit it. Let's get out of here.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.